141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Scottish Cup weekend. Rangers host Stirling Albion, fresh from taking complaints about Tuesday's refereeing performance to the Scottish FA. Kyogo faces a further number of weeks out as Celtic add Matt O'Reilly and gear up for Alloa. And Hibs are the first team through after beating Cove but have since sold Martin Boyle. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
The romance of the cup and a domestic dispute in the league. No such thing as a quiet night in this part of the world. But if there is going to be a shock in the cup, it won't be tonight at Ibrox. Plenty of scope for upsets tomorrow, but the main story tonight concerning Rangers will be their complaint to the SFA about Kevin Clancy's performance at Pittodrie on Tuesday. And there was a lot to complain about for both teams.
Just another quiet day in Scottish football, Kenny Miller.
Absolutely. It's been a great week though to get the football back. I was at Pittodrie on Tuesday night, and it was a disappointing performance obviously for Rangers. I thought Aberdeen were excellent off the back of a return to action for Celtic on the Monday night, who were comfortable against Hibs. But listen, great to have the Premiership back in action again, and as always, so much to talk about, good and bad.
And Hugh, like we said in the headlines, we covered some of it. Martin Boyle's gone, he's got the big money move, and Hibs will have to replace him on the field, albeit the bank balance looks a bit healthier. Akel Lafferty is back at Kilmarnock. Celtic are making more signings. It really is all happening. It's all go. Scottish Cup, domestic disputes, transfer window. What else could you want?
I believe the Boyle situation is a win-win. Martin Boyle has made a life-changing move, and good luck to him, his wife and his family, because players are in the professional game to make as much as they can throughout their career. And Hibs get a very tidy sum of money for Martin Boyle. I don't think there was a club in the UK that would have paid that sum of money for him. So for me, it's a win-win. And well done, Martin Boyle. You've just won the lottery.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight. So let's hear from you. Rangers complained to the Scottish FA about the refereeing performance at Pittodrie. What do you make of that? I mean, we've been through a lot of the incidents since then, and weirdly I feel like we're kind of agreeing on them all, which is very strange. We don't often do that on here, but that's where we're at. But now it's been put out there in the public domain that Rangers have held talks with the Scottish FA. We'll hear Stephen Glass's take on that. And there is a game tonight, actual football on the pitch that we can talk about, as well as all the other drama. So Rangers fans, in fact any Stirling Albion fans, how good would that be? Hopefully you're not stuck in traffic on the M8, but if you're heading along to Ibrox, why not give us a call? And Rangers fans, surely the squad will be rotated, but who would you like to see? Are there any academy graduates, any fringe players that you think must get a chance tonight? Pick up the phone and let us know. 0141 951 1025. Ange Postecoglou's got interesting stuff on Kyogo and Matt O'Reilly, and as we mentioned, Martin Boyle, Kyle Lafferty, Scottish Cup and more. Let's go to Ibrox though and set the scene with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, this is what the Scottish Cup's all about, really, isn't it? A team from the bottom tier heading to the home of the Premiership champions, and what an opportunity this is for the Stirling Albion players to play at Ibrox against this quality of opposition. And you really think they've got nothing to lose and everything to gain coming into this. Let's not get it twisted. It's obviously going to be an extremely tough task for them, but they will come in here hoping that they can not only create history but also create some real memories as well, because this could well be the biggest game of some of these players' careers. They'll be coming up against a rotated Rangers side. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has already said that he's going to make changes for this one tonight. Kamar Roof and Leon Balogun, could they get some valuable minutes on their return from injury? The likes of Janino Bakuna, John Lundstrom, Cedric Itten, they'll be hoping that they'll get the chance to show their manager what they're capable of, and expect to see some youth players on the bench too, guys like Leon King, Alex Lowry and Charlie McCann as well. I'll bring you the full team news for this one at Ibrox when I get it.
No shock for you then tonight, Hugh Keevans?
Not a hope. I mean, and even I could not be contradicted on that particular prediction. This will be whatever Rangers want it to be. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, I am certain, will approach it in a professional manner. The Stirling Albion players will be there to get photographs taken of themselves inside Ibrox, possibly a selfie with Giovanni Van Bronckhorst if they can manage it. They're not there for a serious game of football.
Well, that sounds a little bit harsh, to be fair, Kenny. I can't put up much of a case to contradict his confidence on the scoreline. League 2 against top of the Premiership speaks for itself, but you've also got a struggling League 2 side going there. But you never know. I don't know. You've played in some of these nights. Is there ever scope that it's harder than people expect it to be?
It is sometimes. I agree with you. It's not going to be, I can't see it being one of those nights. But you need to approach it properly. You need to get up to speed pretty quickly. You probably need an early goal as well, as much as it can. Like last night with Hibs against Cove, which is against lower opposition, albeit higher in Stirling Albion, who are flying high at the top of their own league. Hibs should still take care of those teams in real time. You know, it shouldn't take extra time for that. But again, fair play to Cove, they were excellent on the night. But tonight, no, it's a different game altogether. There will be a squad rotation, so again, you're going to have players that are probably looking to get minutes to get up to speed, rather than players playing right at the top of their game. Maybe younger players playing, guys coming back for injury, and guys that have not had a lot of game time. So that is 100% in Stirling's favour. Mm-hmm. But there's Stirling, it's Rangers versus Stirling Albion.
Rangers.
You know, it has to be, in my opinion, 4, 5 or 6. Like you say, whatever they want it to be, they should go on there and be expecting it. Again, it wasn't a great performance through the week. Mm-hmm. So just get to back to winning ways now and start building momentum.
Rangers would need to rotate and bring Gordon Dalziel back.
Well, I don't think they're that desperate. Anyway, 01419511025. If you've got thoughts on the game tonight, how it'll go, which fringe players you would like to see, or anything else, pick up the phone and let us know. Today though, Rangers written to the Scottish FA to complain about the refereeing of that game against Aberdeen, highlighting a series of errors, 8 I believe, that they feel were made during the game. Let's speak to Alan in Irvine and see what he makes of that. Alan.
Hi, good evening panel, thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
I think I just want to go on what you said and also what Kenny says, that I think both teams would feel aggrieved. I think in the first half, as I've said to the producers, I think Kevin Clancy, whether it be just being us or Aberdeen as well, I think he set that game up for something to be sent off the way he was dishing out the yellow cards. A lot of the fouls were soft fouls that I didn't think there was also the opportunities for players to be sent off for a second yellow card. Now, Ryan Kent, even though he didn't touch Scott Brown, he's went to make that tackle and he's gave the referee a decision to make, which was silly. And I think from both teams, because Aberdeen, I'd like to think they would feel aggrieved, but it's not the first time it's happened with Kevin Clancy and certain other referees. And I don't think referees in Scotland, I know they're only human, they make mistakes, I get that, but they're not held accountable when they have such serious errors or such bad game management. Nothing's happened. If an investigation gets done, we don't find anything about it. And I agree with what Kenny says. I think Rangers were very lucky to get away with a point, because, and I think we were lucky, again, I'll be just honest, I think we were lucky not to get away with a penalty against Alan McGregor, but we got a wee bit of luck. I know the boy who was going through and he sort of lost his balance, but I think it's a touchy one, but I think we were lucky, but I was glad we got away with the point, and I'm hoping that's the first time, I think, under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, I think Rangers have looked lackluster, and I'm hoping it's just a little blip. So, just to see what the panel think about that.
Well, you know, Kevin Clancy had a bad night, without question. The tone is set when he fails to see the penalty decision that could have gone and should have gone Aberdeen's way, with Alan McGregor involved. There were several other mistakes. Johnny Hayes, I think, could have been sent off for the elbow on Borna Barisic. I'm not buying the one about the ball moved at the penalty. That happens occasionally. I could give you two very high profile examples of that happening. One involving Celtic against Rangers, when the ball moved in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup in the penalty kick shootout, Tom Rogic missed. Rangers went into the final in 2016, etc.
What a day that was,
yeah.
He moved it, power of his mind.
But
Gary McAllister, Yuri Geller, yeah, will we get him on the phone?
There's an office inside Ibrox that complains about everything. I don't believe that this 8-point complaint is the work of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, because after the game he was perfectly composed, perfectly rational and perfectly fair in his assessment of what had taken place, and he understood that Rangers were going down the road with a point that perhaps they might not have got. But within Ibrox, somebody, person or persons unknown, complains about everything.
Kenny, I don't know, let's run through them. Ryan Kent, should he have been sent off?
No.
Alan McGregor, should he have been penalised for a penalty?
I don't think Alan made contact with Hedges. I think Hedges made contact with Alan as he was on the way down. But if that was a player going past the defender who dangles his leg out and makes contact with the defender, the penalty is often given. So I agree with Alan, it probably is a penalty. But I can understand why it's been missed.
Johnny Hayes,
a penalty. Johnny Hayes, again, he was in a few situations, Johnny Hayes. Again, I think there was one that has maybe not been discussed. Scott Brown really smashed Ryan Kent as well. And he did get booked for it. They dragged the play back and he got booked for it. I thought that was pretty aggressive at the moment, at that time as well. So there was a lot of incidents. But Johnny Hayes, again, when you miss those things, when you've not got VAR, I think with VAR, all these situations will be looked at.
I mean, you
correctly,
as a player, know what Johnny Hayes is trying to do.
Yeah.
You're trying to get the guy away from you, ultimately. But if you hit him in the face, then you're taking a chance. Is that the way you guys would view that, or...?
What we don't know is what is actually in Johnny's mind.
But that's the whole point,
contact,
though. That's
yes,
now not really
absolutely
important, is it?
It's not. Well, you put your arm up and it goes and hits somebody in the face. That's when it becomes an issue. It's not always meant, and it doesn't always mean it's a yellow or a red card, for that matter. But sometimes you can see that there is maybe intent. You know, so...
No, but that's the point. I think the way the rule's written, intent's not actually that important anymore. Yeah. They've tried to change that because, how are we meant to know what Johnny Hayes
is? It's another stupid rule then, because it can't just be as blatant a hand goes in a face or an arm goes in a face and it's a red card.
No, but I think the reason would be, as I said, how are we supposed to know what Johnny Hayes is thinking? I think that's why they do it that way.
Yeah. You know what? It opens up a whole can of worms. Handballs, all this carry on as well. Is that a penalty? Is it not a penalty? For me, I don't think it was a penalty.
Okay, ball on the spot.
Moves, absolutely moves. I was at the game, you could see it in the stand. To the letter of the law, it should have been retaken. But for me, it's actually more an issue for Ferguson than anybody else in a blue jersey.
To be fair to the referee, at that point, he's watching Alan McGregor to see if he moves. He's looking out for encroachment. He's only got one pair of eyes.
That's his job, though. That's his job.
Yeah, but if something else happens and he misses it, is he supposed to be blamed for not having eyes in the back of his head?
I think, again, VAR, you look at it straight away. Yeah. The thing that would just... Put it this way, I've taken thousands and thousands and thousands of calls on this show and never yet won about a ball moving on a penalty spot. So if it's something that's so rare, can we... I know we're not in the business of cutting Kevin Clancy any slack, but just maybe on that one, given that it's so unique. I mean, you give me two examples, fine, but one was in 96 and one was in 2016, so you know that sort of tells you that we're not dealing with something that happens very often here.
Of course, when I mentioned the Rogic one, Kenny said, "Well, what a day that was." Well, you know, did you not ask for a retake then?
I never know. Absolutely not. Again, by the way, slightly different in the respect that it was his planted foot that made the ball raise again, so it's a little bit different. And the ball never moved. The ground
just
under
the
it moved and the pitch rose. So the ball. So again, we're in a completely different. It's completely different scenario.
I'm
fine with the ball moving. For me, Lewis Ferguson does incredible to keep his composure and put it away.
So, Alan, the decision for this to sort of, you know, it's become public and Rangers have gone to the Scottish FA. You're fine with that and you feel that this is just a bad refereeing performance for both sides that should be called out rather than your Rangers team being particularly hard done by over Aberdeen?
Absolutely. I think it's unless it is called out by both teams, being honest, that it needs to be called out by both teams because it was terrible. And it's not the first time it's happened. We've got nobody to blame for the other night but ourselves, but for not winning that game. Nobody else. And people could say, oh, it's the referee's fault, this and that. Again, he doesn't control how we play football. We do. But I think from the point of view is that both teams should have grievances, but I think when it's so many, I think it has to be highlighted, because if you don't highlight these things, things don't get better. They don't get better.
Where does this get us, though? Does this make things get better? I mean, I'll tell you what, the reason I ask is because here's what Stephen Glass had to say, because he obviously feels he was hard done by as well, but says they wouldn't gain anything by complaining about it.
There's no fallout from the game from this end. There was one big incident in the game that I think anybody would agree upon, so we ain't complaining about it. We weren't happy at the time, we're not happy about it, but we're not going to achieve anything by complaining. That's their business, what they want to talk about. I don't work for Rangers, I work for Aberdeen. We've got a game against Edinburgh City that we're concentrating on tomorrow. We took care of the game the other night. We were disappointed not to win it, but we move on and we prepare for this one. I'm not going to sit and complain about it. At the time, I wasn't happy. I felt we switched off for 20, 30 seconds and we got punished by a good team. We learn a lesson from that. We're not happy about the refereeing decision, but it's not the first time this year, but we're not going to sit and complain.
You don't agree with that take on it, Alan? You don't think that's the best way to go?
No, well, he's he's obviously not wanting to try and maybe make a rod for his own back, but to me, like when he's saying they're not going to complain about it, he's telling he's unhappy. So that in itself says it shows to the magnitude that the referee is. He obviously maybe thinks that it's not going to make any difference, but I think highlighting these things has to be done. That's each club's own prerogative in terms of whoever it is that's doing it behind the scenes, whether it's a collective. Then if they felt that that is the right thing to do, then it has to be called out in any industry. If you're not doing something and something's right, it has to be called out, doesn't it?
To be fair, I suspect if Crawford Allen's listening, he might actually, amongst the seriousness of it, afford himself a chuckle, and he'll say, Teams are calling it out every week. I'm sure they do. I'm sure his phone rings off the hook on a Monday morning. Let's just be honest. If Rangers or Celtic make a complaint, it just gets blown up, and everybody wants to talk about it much more than any of the other teams.
The last sound I'll hear before I leave you all will be Celtic and Rangers fans shouting about penalties and bad referees, and Rangers and Celtic play to the gallery, because earlier this season, you had Celtic's chairman at their AGM, Ian Bankier, saying that referees were a source of concern. You know, I accept that we have, I believe, a poor standard of referee in this country, and there are far too many controversies. But what is to be achieved by Rangers doing this? What is it they're after?
Yeah, when do you complain? When do you not, Kenny? When do you draft 8 points of complaint? When do you not? Because I mean, every week we see refereeing decisions that people don't like.
I would be interested to see how many complaints are made when teams win games. Because let me tell you, we went through a scenario, again, it's never going to be as high profile. We won a game 6-2 a couple of weeks ago, and there was a few incidents that were bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. And we're thinking, you know, do you try and highlight them? Do you know? But you've won the game, and you think, you know, it's always off the back of normally poor results and the decisions that affect the result, particularly when there's so much at stake for every team, you know. But when it comes to Glasgow, we're talking about Rangers and Celtic, there's so much at stake on these decisions. For me as a player, I'm more like most referees, right? But I'll tell you what, I also respected the job that they've got to do, and I moaned at the time, but I actually don't mind after it. Moaning, we can talk about it, we complain. But over the course of it, you do get some and you don't get some. It's never going to change. It's never going to stop the morning. But the complaints are always coming off the back of results. This particular game, like, both teams have got grievances. I don't know what there's to be gained. You know, Rangers making these kind of assessments and putting these complaints towards the SFA. I don't know what's supposed to be. Is it to try and maybe gain an advantage somewhere down the line? But it can also go the other way. It can go the other way where things go against you because you're complaining. You know, that was something I probably never learned until I was later. I maybe shouldn't have moaned at the referees as much. But I just think that there's not much to be gained, that it draws attention to situations that are important on the night. But there was in situations for both teams that were really, really decisions that went against both teams on the night. Again, the Ryan Kent one, it's 8 minutes to go. Is it going to affect the game? I'll tell you, I don't think it affected the performance. The performance was poor. You know, Aberdeen were far better on the night.
Thank you, Alan. 0141 951 1025. More of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. Big game tonight at Ibrox, Rangers against Stirling Albion, 7:45. The second of a whole host of Scottish Cup ties taking place this weekend after Hibs went through last night. You've still got time if you want to talk about who should play tonight, who should not. Would you like to see, I don't know, some academy graduates play, some fringe players given a chance? Pick up the phone and let us know. Let's bring in William and see what's on his mind. William?
Hello, Gordon, Hugh and Kenny.
Hello.
I always like to start, it's been quite an emotional time for me, obviously with the football, and I lost my dad last week, right? But that's by the by.
I'm sorry to hear that, William.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'll be up there moaning about a dangerous performance anyway. So, right, the referee in the Aberdeen Rangers game, right? Anybody can call me out if they want, right? I was sitting here with my friends and I said to them, Kevin Clancy will send a Rangers player off and he'll give a penalty. It was a penalty to Aberdeen anyway, but that's another by the by, right? His performance was inept, and that's me being generous, right? As Kenny says, the Johnny Hayes, Robbie McCrory, the boy McCrory, how he never got sent after that challenge with Ellis was baffling. The Kent one, Aberdeen should have had a penalty. And it's the same referee, right? Celtic have got Madden. They don't like Madden. We definitely don't like Clancy. I believe this man sent off Morelos, I think it's five times since he's been in this country. I mean, five times, Gordon, you know?
I'm not sure about that. I must admit, I need to check. That sounds a lot. And I mean, William, you said you were sure he was going to send someone off. Where did that confidence come from? Because it has been quite a while prior to the other night since Rangers had a red card, hasn't it?
Well, what I just stated with Morelos, Gordon, no, I mean, he's just, look at the way he was conducting himself with Scott Brown at the end of the game. I mean, they're having a laugh and a joke. I don't know what they're laughing and joking about, you know what I mean? But it didn't look too clever, you know what I mean? Because everybody's calling out McCoist and everybody else in the media circles, right? But
Is this a new thing, Hugh? Because we had this earlier in the season. Who was it? Celtic fans would phone in and complain that Stephen McLean was joking with... Yeah. The Rangers, but for all we know, Kevin Clancy, with a big daft smile on his face, has said to Scott Brown, "I don't know, you never shut up. I'm sick of you. Whatever. I have no idea." But the point I'm trying to make is, everyone jumps to conclusions. Scott Brown was refereeing the game. Look at them; they're best pals.
Yeah, they jumped
from a picture or a quick clip. Yeah. Maybe they are best pals. The point I'm trying to make is, I don't know.
I would doubt that very much. Kevin Clancy, I think, was over-officious. I think he reached for yellow cards when a more astute official might have taken a second and spoken to the players and told them to calm down a bit. He booked too many players. He got the penalty wrong with Alan McGregor. I think he got the penalty right for Aberdeen. I think handball is handball. And Morelos made no complaint whatsoever when the award was given. I believe in those things as well, because Alfredo Morelos would be the very chap to react badly if he thought he'd been treated badly. So Kevin Clancy, all in all, has had a bad night. But Rangers fans believe certain referees have it in for them, and Celtic fans believe certain referees have it in for them.
When everybody knows the truth is that the big two get all the decisions and the poor wee teams have to suffer.
And William has described the
producer
referee.
Callum's nodding away. I've got a bit of support in here.
Well, you folk from the rural communities will just need to
come
wait.
Come on.
But the William on the line called the referee inept, which was the word that Paul McGinn used to describe the referee at the Premier Sports Cup final. And he got a 2-game ban for it. And I believe that Paul McGinn was wrong to call him inept. I think Hibs were caught out.
William, just at a quick glance, you can't be right with that stat about Morelos, because I think he's only been sent off 6 times, is it, in Scotland? One was Don Robertson, one was John Beaton. So I don't know where this idea that Kevin Clancy sent Morelos off 5 times or whatever has come from.
To be honest, Gordon, I did say maybe 5. No, I mean, it's definitely a couple to 3 anyway, I think.
Fair difference between a couple to 3 to 5. I mean, we have to keep things in perspective here. The man,
he's sent him off, right? He's okay, he's sent him off, right?
Again,
listen, we'll agree to that.
I don't know, Hugh. And this is where there is such a thing as confirmation bias. We're the absolute specialists at it here, because William says he knew Kevin Clancy was going to send a Rangers player off because he has sent a Rangers player off before. And yet, all I can see on Twitter is folks saying, how can you say that? Because it's been 2 years since Rangers last had a player sent off. None of those two things in isolation actually make any difference.
I read a stat during the week, just to throw in every passerby. I read a stat during the week that Rangers get penalties more than any other club in the country. So where do we go with all of this? If you believe the game's bent, don't go.
Simple as that. I mean, like, the thing about that, when you just offer up just a random statistic like that, for instance, right, Hearts are the only team that haven't conceded a penalty this season. Does that mean there's a pro-Hearts agenda?
Exactly.
Obviously not, but that's just, you know, that.
We need to believe in this country there's something wrong. You know, as I say, I believe that Kevin Clancy had an over-officious, underachieving performance at Pittodrie. He had a poor night and he got big things wrong. Now, Giovanni van Bronckhorst at the end of the game, the first thing he mentioned was VAR and how VAR would have helped the referees. And they really do need help, because in my personal opinion, the standard is poor.
Yeah.
And every week, without exception, we have people talking about Willie Collum, who's one of the top referees in this country, did Inverness Cali Thistle last weekend against Queen of the South. And Billy Dodds saying that, you know, the two goals that Queen of the South got were, in their opinion, offside. Big games, big calls have got to be made correctly. And Kevin Clancy, regrettably, did not get his big calls correct at Pittodrie.
VAR would definitely help at some times, Kenny. It definitely would. There's no doubt about it. But it's not like the thing that sometimes confuses me about that argument is we all watch leagues that have got VAR.
And there's controversy every single week.
It doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go. Now, everybody who's been on this show, whether it be a caller or a pundit, all week has said that Ryan Kent should not have been sent off. And the vast, vast majority, in fact, I think them all have said, yeah, Aberdeen probably should have had a penalty. But how many games have you watched in the English Premier League where you feel that way, you feel that strong about an incident, and you see it back? So maybe the ball rolling off the spot, fine. But are you 100% confident, 100%, that no doubt about it, that Ryan Kent stays on the pitch with VAR, or Alan McGregor gets the penalty against him?
No, is the answer. Because it's still, in certain moments, it's a decision by a human being looking at interprets a situation a certain way. Then the referee gets called across to the screen and he has a look at it, and now he's now interpreting it his way, whilst getting the earphase, his colleague, and the word for you, and his earphase colleague, to tell him what he thinks. And then they come up with a decision, and they say, look at it real time, don't look at freeze frames, don't look at screenshots, but they still do, which it looks a million times worse when things are slowed down, as we all know. So no, you're still going to get the same things that are clear cut. Like I say, the ball moves off the spot, he would have been made to retake that. Like, that's pretty clear, because the ball moved off the spot. By the way, and does it really make a difference? Really, he steps up and puts the penalty away. Had he missed the penalty, we'd be asking for him again. As Rangers fans, would Rangers fans want it to be retaken if he had missed that? Or if they did call it to be retaken, well, why is that being retaken? That's because it's moved off the spot. So VAR doesn't clear everything up. All it does, I think, it makes things that are supposed to be black and white correct.
But to be fair, maybe I'm being unfair. Maybe it's a loaded question, because maybe the extreme examples are the ones that stick in your head, and actually there are loads where it's just, you know, no fuss and most people agree and you move on. Clearly a second look at it would be beneficial, Hugh. Clearly.
Yeah, without doubt.
Whether you like it or not, whether you like the process and all that stuff, that's maybe a different matter.
We take an eternity over everything, and we're still talking about the installation of VAR in this country. We've been going on and on about it for a long, long time.
But to be fair, I don't think that can happen overnight anyway, for a number of reasons.
No, but we do need a definitive. Is it coming in or not? If we put our hands up and say, no, we can't afford it.
No, I think the answer's yes. I think it's heading that way, but not necessarily. I don't know. Would it be the season after next?
But we are unwilling to accept, and William is a case in point. He is unwilling to accept that the referee went into the game in a fair-minded fashion. He believes that this was premeditated, that Kevin Clancy wanted
to do
this.
Was always going to send the Rangers player off.
So how unfair is that?
Let's speak to Ryan. Thank you, William. You look after yourself. Let's bring in Ryan in Glasgow. What's your take on it all, Ryan?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. You, Will?
I'm not bad. I just want to bring up a wee quick kind of memory for Kenny Miller. I don't know if you remember, but we beat Miller in the Scottish Cup 5 years ago today.
Oh,
and Kenny scored both won our goals on the 84th and the 89th minute. I just had a memory in my Facebook. That's how long I remember.
I was trying to forget about it. Thanks for that.
I do remember. Yeah, I wouldn't have not have brought it up out of respect for Gordon, but I did see that pop up on a few platforms today.
It's what worries me. Was that flying header? Is that 5 years ago?
Yeah, a flying header. Then a 1v1 through to put us. That was two late goals as well. Last 5 minutes.
You must have been a fair age then.
37 at that point, I think it was.
5 years ago, gee, that's even making me feel old, Ryan. So I don't know what effect it's having on these two. What about this week then? We are back, Scottish Cup week, but there's drama elsewhere. What do you make of what's going on today?
I'm just glad to see that Rangers are actually doing something about the bad refereeing. I feel like there's hundreds of games every single weekend, every during the weekend, whatever you want to call it, that referees make poor decisions, regardless if it's SPFL or no. But I feel like Rangers are sometimes just too laid back with it all, and they don't seem to do a lot about it. I know most of the time, if they do complain to the SFA or whatever, they don't get the response they wanted, whether it's a red card getting rescinded or whatever else. And I feel like it's not just off the park, though. I feel like on the park as well, and a few examples, when Rangers have lost the ball or they're playing an offside trap or something, I feel like the players just stop. And like that makes you look a wee bit... For example, the penalty claim for Aberdeen when McGregor comes out and takes the boy out, and or near enough takes the boy out, and you actually watch Barisic, and when it's happening, obviously, the ball gets played over the top, and Barisic just stops, which obviously makes it look a wee bit worse, because obviously he stops thinking, oh, it's a penalty, you know, and again, that can obviously influence the referee's decision. Obviously, it hasn't at the time, but there's other decisions like that that happen where the ball goes out for a throw, and it's supposed to be Rangers' ball, but Rangers don't, the players don't complain as much, you know what I mean? And I feel like Rangers need to be a wee bit more control, well, not so much controlling the referee's decisions, but just being a wee bit more out there in terms of...
If Rangers are laid back, the rest are comatose. Nobody complains more than Rangers.
This is the point, Ryan, and I wonder, how do we ever get away from this? Because it's always going to be driven by, you know, you being a Rangers fan, so you've got your preconceptions, and vice versa. So you're on to tell us tonight that Rangers don't complain enough, and at the exact same time, all I can see on Twitter and on forums and in newspaper, whatever, from opposition fans and opposition, is that Rangers complain too much. So where on earth is the truth in this? That's two absolute extremes. So you're telling us Rangers don't complain enough, and Hugh and others are saying Rangers complain too much. Where's the middle ground?
No, I think Rangers fans complain too much. I don't think Rangers as a football club complain as much.
Well, I can certainly remember plenty of statements over the years about the performance of referees, and Rangers have been asserting themselves for a number of years now. So I just think that, as I say, the last thing I'll hear before six of you carry me out will be Rangers and Celtic fans going on about penalties. And I've just said it has been statistically proven that Rangers get more penalties than anybody else. So if there's a referee conspiracy against them, it's not working.
But then, see, even that, even the mention of that, I think it's just useless. It's just an anecdotal piece of evidence. It doesn't take into account
how much Rangers are attacking against Celtic and all the bigger better teams,
whether they're deserved or whether they're not. So like I said, Hearts have not conceded a penalty this season. They're the only team in the league who've not conceded one. Why is no one phoning in to say that there's a conspiracy against Hearts and they're not getting penalties given? A conspiracy in favour of Hearts, sorry, and they're not getting penalties given against them.
But deep down, Ryan believes that things are weighed against Rangers.
Kenny, the Rangers complain.
Caller, he believes it's premeditated.
Ryan says Rangers don't complain enough. Everybody on Twitter from the opposite side of things is telling me they complain too much. Go on, you can be the voice of reason.
I think the point Ryan was making is maybe the players don't show enough fight when things go against them in regards to complaining, right? That's, again, whether that's neither here nor there for me. I just don't like the nature in which Rangers, the football club, are going about their business in these matters. By the way, referees, SFA, could be dealing with complaints for every single team in Scotland every single week about decisions that have went against them, whether it's cost them or it's not cost them. They could be dealing with that every week. I just don't like the biggest decision, like I think we've quite clearly established, was in favour of Rangers, which was probably wrong, which was Alan McGregor penalty incident. And again, for me, I say to you, the contact was minimal, but there was contact. You know, simple as that. So basically, it should be a penalty. That was the biggest decision at that time of the game when Aberdeen descended, and directly from that incident, Rangers swoop up the other end of the field and score a wonderful goal and go 1-0 up and change the whole momentum of the football game. Aberdeen should be feeling aggrieved, and rightly so. Rangers should be very happy that they got out with the game with a point, and I think they are. Mm. The refereeing decisions are coming up. I just don't like this going to the an 8-point process of making a complaint to the SFA about referees. It's just, for me, it's not what Rangers should be about.
01419511025. Thank you, Ryan. Get your calls in on this. We've got a very interesting Rangers team tonight, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, some interesting selections. As you say, Leon Balogun is back from injury and he slots in at left back. There's also starts for Cedric Itten, who's just come back from his loan spell, and out from the cold and into the starting lineup, Brandon Barker as well. The full changes, there is eight of them. McGregor, Bassey, Barisic, Kamara, Sands, Wright, Morelos and Kent. They all played against Aberdeen. They're all out the starting lineup. McLaughlin, Simpson, Balogun, Bakuna, Lundstrom, Sakala and Barker, as well as Itten, come in. So it's John McLaughlin starting in goal for Rangers tonight. The back four, James Tavernier, Jack Simpson, Connor Goldson and Leon Balogun. The midfield three, John Lundstrom, Janino Bakuna and Yanis Hadji. And it'll be Fashion Sakala and Brandon Barker either side of Cedric Itten. The bench for Rangers tonight, McCrory, Bassey, King, Sands, McCann, Lowry, Wright and Roof.
Right, come on, be honest. Who predicted Jack Simpson and Brandon Barker to start for Rangers? Let's hear from you.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Kenny Miller are here. They've both just been rocked by the revelation from producer Callum that the pundits have won all week.
Ooh.
So you had a different type of pressure last time because you had to save the pundits. This time you don't want to embarrass your colleagues.
No, I'd rather not. I'd rather Kenny played.
Well, let's find out.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Keep your calls coming in, by the way. We're here until 8 o'clock, not only building up to Rangers Stirling Albion, not only having a good whinge off with each other about referees and VAR and all the rest of it. We're also talking signings and games going on at the weekend. We'll hear from Ange Postecoglou very soon. Could be a good chance for you Celtic fans to get involved. Let's meet tonight's Beat the Pundit player, though. It's Gareth from Carlisle. How's it going, Gareth?
Good evening, you okay?
Yeah, well, thank you. Would you have a preference? Who do you think would you rather take on, Keevans, Miller?
Kenny Miller.
Oh, right, okay. You got something against him, or...?
No.
Just want to... So there's a backstory there. All right, heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, I'm afraid, and tails, you will get your way.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to have to wait till next time. It's Hugh Keevans, heads up against Gareth from Carlisle. So here's the deal, Gareth. We will give Hugh something else. We will make him disappear for a couple of seconds. We'll put 30 seconds on the clock. Now you just answer as many as you can, and if you don't know, my advice would be to pass quickly and move on. Okay.
No bother.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Englishman was the last Rangers player to score 20 league goals in a season?
Pass.
Which Celtic player won Goal of the Month for December today?
Jota.
Name any SPFL stadium that starts with the letter T.
Any stadium?
Yes.
Parkhead.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Pass.
Name the only Scottish Premiership side who've not been awarded a penalty this season.
St Johnstone.
Right, let's bring back Hugh.
That's terrible.
Hugh, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
And your time starts now. Which Englishman was the last Rangers player to score 20 league goals in a season?
Windass.
Which Celtic player won Goal of the Month for December today?
Jota.
Name any SPFL stadium that starts with the letter T.
Tannadice.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Morton.
Name the only Scottish Premiership side who've not been awarded a penalty this season.
Hearts.
Armand Nonrelay has left Hearts to join a club in which European country?
France.
And which Scotsman made their 200th appearance for Liverpool last night?
Andy Robertson.
Surely an easy one to finish. Gareth, what's the verdict?
That was shocking. My part.
I've got a bit of sympathy for you because I think you obviously, over the phone, I don't know, you obviously misheard me on question three, which is not great. Right, anyway, which Englishman was the last Rangers player to score 20 league goals in a season? Martin Waghorn.
Oh,
yeah, in the 15-16 season. Which Celtic player won Goal of the Month for December today? Tom Rogic. Tannadice, remember it?
Yeah.
I remember it because I missed it because I was away taking my daughter to see Santa Claus for the first time. You know that way that the life just comes at you fast and you start missing important things, and I had to catch up with it later that night. So there we go. They're a boring story for you. I do feel for Gareth here because if he's standing in front of me like you are, he gets this one right. Name any SPFL stadium that starts with the letter T. Gareth said Parkhead. Now,
He must have heard pee, did he?
Even at that, that's not what the stadium's called.
Well, fair enough.
But I do still, because like I say, I think in here he's going to hear that, isn't he? Hugh gets it right. Bottom of the championship is Dunfermline.
Oh, of course it is.
The only, I've sucked you in a bit on this one, because the only Premiership side who've not been awarded a penalty, the stat that I've been reading out is that Hearts are the only team who's not conceded a penalty. And you went Hearts, so it's Dundee United, the only team who've not been awarded a penalty. So there we go. Are we going to get calls about how Dundee United are hard done by referees?
It's a conspiracy.
I won't hold my breath. So it's only 1-0 to Hugh at this point, Gareth. And you're hard done by in the question, but he pulls away a bit at the end. Nonrelay has gone off to France, and Andy Robertson, which I'm sure you would have got, Gareth, if you'd got that far.
Yeah.
Absolutely no doubt about it. But I'm afraid, going to need to whisper it, Gareth. It's a zero. It's a zero. We've not had one in a while. It's a big fat zero. Gareth, I don't have your surname. Most of our listeners probably won't be in Carlisle, so I'm sure no one will remind you of this.
That's good then.
That's the only victory for you tonight, Gareth, I'm afraid. Gareth and Carlisle, thank you. Even if I feel bad for Gareth, so if I chop one off you for the Tannadice Parkhead debacle, it wouldn't matter, you still win.
Am I still in front of Alec Ree?
Well, I would assume so if you won tonight, Gareth just seemed like a nice guy. See, this is the difference between me, right? See, when Wilson and DL, see when someone gets a zero, they love it. They think it's absolutely wonderful and they rub it in. I think Gareth deserved one.
Yeah, he sounds like a nice man.
Take it easy, Gareth, 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Watty says, according to the studio panel, VAR will still have us all moaning, so it's rubbish, and full-time rest will make no difference. So that's rubbish. The Scottish game remains static and outdated. Great news. And I do take that point. I think clearly we need VAR, because you can't be the only ones who don't have it, Hugh. Yeah. And that's a different argument to whether you like it or not.
But
can
again,
you be the only league who doesn't have it?
No, not really. But again, I maintain that even when VAR is introduced here, it will not stop moaning and groaning.
No, of course not. But the point is, does it get, even if it gets more, if it gets more decisions right than we currently have, then
There has to be
anyway.
That wasn't the argument, though. That wasn't the question was put to us. Well, there still will be debates. There still will be these kind of issues when VAR are here. That's all it was.
Yeah, Watty's been a bit selective. That sneaky Watty over there. Right, 01419511025. Let's hear from Ange Postecoglou, shall we? He's been on media duty today, as you would expect, with Celtic playing Alloa tomorrow. And he says Kyogo is no closer to returning, will still be out injured for a number of weeks. He says it would be unfair though on the player to put an exact time frame on it.
We're still sort of working through that, but suffice to say, you know, it's not going to be a quick return. Again, reluctant to put any time frame on it because of just for the player himself, I think it's unfair that, you know, I do that, but you know, we're still looking at a number of weeks at the moment. Hopefully, you know, we'll get some clarity. There's still some things they want to see, whether it settles down, and but certainly, you know, we're looking at a number of weeks at this point.
What do you make of that, Peter's a Celtic fan in Paisley. It's difficult to know when, Peter, but it's clearly not great news at the moment for you Celtic fans, is it?
Yeah, well, okay. Let's say good evening to the panel. Yeah, Kyogo will be a miss, that's without a doubt. He just kind of threw my thought process there.
It's fine.
It was on the point I was going to make.
Well, you carry on. You make your own point. I just sometimes like to put people on the spot, but you take it away.
Okay, I'm a first-time caller, but for 10 years I used to phone out. I've been a Celtic fan for 50-odd years, and I've got to laugh at the noisy neighbours there complaining about referees. I think you'll remember this one. One of the most outrageous decisions by a referee was when the late, great Johnny Doyle got sent off when he kicked a ball at a referee, and the crowd cheered. That was one of my first away games as a Celtic supporter. I think it was back in 1977. You'll remember that, Hugh. But the fact of the matter is, referees do make mistakes, make decisions. I've seen a lot worse. Over the years, I've seen far worse. I think even Ronnie Dyla missed out in the possible treble with one of the most outrageous decisions with a handball. So let's not go into that. My point's about Celtic and about football. I was really bored by that first hour of your show there, Gordon. I know it's what the callers want and what they want to talk, but I like to talk about the personalities in the game. And that's Pastor Kilgoy. What a man. He's definitely a personality. So is, as you mentioned, Kilgoy. Yeah, but we've got players in. Kilgoy will be a miss. But it's the young boy I'm interested about as well. We've just signed a young guy, Matt O'Reilly, from MK Dons. Now, if you read his backstory, now, he kind of gave up the game. They didn't give up the game. He was released, or he didn't want to sign a new contract with Fulham because he wasn't getting his chance. And then he took training with MK Dons, if I'm right. And then I think it leads to the transfer there. I think West Brom were coming in with more money, a better contract, and he still chose Celtic, as opposed to McGree, who, by all accounts, the deal was done, but I think Mids were pipped by a better contract. But that's prerogative of any football player. Obviously, you've got to go, just like Boyle's going to, is it the United Arab Emirates to play football. He's got to think about himself and his family. But I think this young guy's got a great attitude. And I don't know if you recall Samaras when he left Man City. A lot of folk forget he took a 25% pay cut to come and play at Celtic. I mean, I know we all go on about football players are greedy, they want the most money. Some do actually like to play the game, and that's the point I was wanting to make. I'm so excited by this. That's why I've not called for 10 years. I'm so excited by this new... first of all, the manager, I think he's got to use by the short and Achilles, as they say, you know. Well, I'm not swearing. I mean, he's got the media, he's got them... I think he kind of told you, that's it, don't give me stories of transfers, and then we come out and sign Matt O'Reilly. So he's kind of sized you guys up anyway.
How do you know that Hugh Keevans isn't into the Veet these days anyway, Peter? It's such an assumption to make in 2022, you know.
Peter,
we could all be modern men.
Peter, if I could just ask you, why is it so important to you? You've gone on a long and meandering run. But why is it so important to you that Ange Postecoglou might have the press, which incidentally he does not? His relations with the press are entirely civilised. He's a pleasure to listen to. Why is it important to you that he has the press?
Right, at any club, right, your manager is first and foremost, for me, the most important person. Alex Ferguson was the most important at Man United. And do you know what Alex did? He got it written in his contract. He gets paid more than any player, his last couple of contracts. You know that, you don't you? Right. So, as a figurehead, I mean, my CEO, our CEO isn't. He's just come in at the job. The last one thought he was. Now, the bottom line is, why is it important? It's important because it gives guys like me, supporters like me, the standing up for the club. He stands up to the press when they ask stupid questions, and he'll say, mate, back to you. And you don't like it. So he's saying...
I particularly like it when he says, mate, Peter, you've got me wrong. I really like it.
Has he ever said it to you, Gordon?
Yes.
Oh, he said it to you. Did you smile back at him?
I loved it, yep.
Yeah, right. What I'm saying is, you don't like it.
But I just said I do like it.
That's entirely wrong.
Hold on. I just said I do like it, though, Peter.
Yeah, but the fact that Hugh Keevan has just come back to me there and says, what is it that yous have got about? Do you know what? I've just explained it.
But he just said that we don't like it when he says, mate, and I'm telling you, I actually actively like it.
Yeah, okay, you do like it, that's great, but
Celtic so you're wrong then?
So I'm not wrong at all. Celtic fans get a good laugh at the press because yous all think, yous have got agendas. There's agendas here, we've seen them all.
Oh my God.
You are, Peter, but the thing is, it's just funny because it's almost like there's always a lack of awareness here, because you phone up, you start your call by saying that it's the noisy neighbours, and that your hidden accusation there is that Rangers have got this sort of agenda, or sorry, that we would have now that we've got an agenda against Celtic. But really, you're not just behaving the same way that you're sort of accusing Rangers and Rangers fans of doing?
Gordon, I think you're meandering a wee bit there.
Well,
no,
it would take one to know one, to be fair. I would concede that I didn't make it as clearly as I would have liked, but Peter, we're now about 7 or 8 minutes into your call.
And so far as I can tell, Peter, you actually don't have a point.
No, he does. That's not fair. No, that's not fair.
What is it then?
Excited about Celtic's new signing, which
well,
I think
is... Why didn't he go on about
he did.
That?
He did.
Rather than about the press.
I'm a fair man. He did. He went on at that at length.
Matt O'Reilly is an interesting signing. Until Matt O'Reilly has a Celtic jersey on and starts playing football, then we won't be able to tell. I mean, we've had a tantalising glimpse of Rio Hatate, a tantalising glimpse of Daizen Meada. He has got a goal, which is a tremendous start for him. Look forward to seeing more of Hatate and Meada, and indeed Matt O'Reilly. But we'll have to wait and see in the near future what they are really all about.
Peter's right, you know, talks about Riley McGree, looked like that was done. He decided to opt elsewhere. Ange Postecoglou said on that day that as things stood at that point, there was nothing else in the pipeline, but clearly wanted that area of the pitch. What do you make of the signing of Celtic's latest recruit, Matt O'Riley?
Again, on paper, it looks a decent sign. Another good young player with decent pedigree, potential for development, which is every kind of team's model, I would say. Sign them young. Again, I would say cheap, but it's not a cheap signing. It's still a decent chunk of money to sign a player for MK Dons for. Plenty of potential to come and develop in what is a actually really, really good team at the moment, you know. So it's a fantastic shot window for Matt O'Riley to come up here, play for a club the size of Celtic, hopefully be challenging for trophies. Again, European footballer there, it's a completely different profile now that he's coming up to Celtic from MK Dons. So it's on the face of it, it looks a decent signing. Again, I would touch on the two signings that made their debut on Monday night. I thought Hitati was absolutely outstanding on Monday, covered every blade of grass, brilliant energy, played with a smile on his face, very rarely gave the ball away. And Maeda gets his goal after 3-4 minutes of his debut. So you could see good things from him as well. Again, he was quiet. It was a quiet day, but he got his goal. But his energy, again, very similar to Kyogo. His movement, very similar to Kyogo. So you can see why he's been brought to the football club.
Do you see tomorrow, Peter, has been a good opportunity for guys to get a bit of game time? When you play low league opposition in the cup, I suppose it's always about striking that balance between giving that opportunity and not weakening too much.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, especially we have to get a big centre-half back in, don't we? Julian. I mean, it's good to see him. I don't know. I think you're right. I think he's looked at systems as well. Everybody thinks Ange is a 4-4-2. But I think we could see maybe a 3-5-2. And also, the chap, I don't think a lot of people... likes a Giamakis. I think Giamakis has got a big part to play until the end of the season. He's different. If you've seen him when he comes on, he can hold the ball up, and it's something that we do need at times. You need a big striker that you can hit. I mean, perfect example, I don't know if we play against Hearts next Wednesday, but that type of game is where we're crying out for a player you can hit, and then the runners can go either side off him, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, Kenny, I mean, I don't think anyone thinks Ange Postecoglou's 4-4-2. We've never seen that from him. But maybe Peter, meaning more about, is there ever an option to go three at the back and change things further up? I'm not sure.
I think that'll be pretty clear that I don't think it will happen. You know, systems are systems. It's not going to change the principles and the style of Ange's team. It's as simple as that. But for me, they're a 4-3-3 moving forward, and that's the way they're going to be playing.
Now let's hear from Ange Postecoglou on your man, Peter, that's got you excited. He thinks Matt O'Riley will fit in really well and could be available for a debut tomorrow.
Yeah, very pleased to get him in. He's a player who's... yeah, we've scouted for quite a while in terms of the football club. I became aware of him, obviously, when I joined the club in the summer, and he was one of the ones that we're kind of looking at, and, you know, didn't quite work out then. And then, followed his progress through the first half of this season in with MK Dons, and he's had a really good season, strong season. And I just see some really good football attributes in him that I think will fit in well with what we're doing here. And, you know, he's also an outstanding young man who really wants to get the most out of his career. And again, that'll fit really well culturally here. So it was one we could do quickly, which is also really important to me because, you know, it means he can come in and sort of slot in straight away. And so pleased to get him in.
Yeah, going to be interesting. Will we see him in front of the Ochil Hills tomorrow? We will find out. Thank you to Peter. Before we go any further, let me tell you about this. This is good news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Golden Goals.
Right, earlier this week we launched a brand new competition on Clyde One Super Scoreboard where you could win a huge cash prize at the end of the season. Now it's Super Scoreboard's Golden Goals, and here is how it works. Every time Celtic or Rangers score, we're going to add at least £250 to the pot. So it's across all competitions, so it includes the Cup tonight, the League, Europe. Whenever the big two score, we up the cash amount. We're already at £1,750 because we started off with 1,000, three goals from midweek, and that's how we've got the total now. With no disrespect to Alloa or Stirling Albion, could we see that pot get a good old donation tonight and tomorrow, Hugh Keevans?
Like,
you never know.
Be like three bells on a fruit machine.
It could be. Could be some serious money being added to the Golden Goals cash amount. One person will win the lot tax-free at the end of the season. So to enter, text GOAL to 61025. That's G-O-A-L to 61025. £2 to text plus your standard message rate, over 18s only. The full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. And we're giving you every last second of the season. We don't close the lines until 6pm Saturday 21st of May, which is Scottish Cup final day. So for your chance to be the winner at the end of the season, text GOAL to 61025 right now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025 or Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Building up to kickoff between Rangers and Stirling Albion. Very interesting team news there. The likes of Brandon Barker, Jack Simpson, Cedric Eaton. Not seen them for a while. Obviously Eaton has been away on loan. We just heard from Ange Postecoglou, so Celtic fans, keep your thoughts coming on the new signing of Matt O'Reilly, the injury to Kyogo, whatever else it may be. It would also be nice to hear from any Hibs fans out there. Martin Boyle's transfer's a big story, I'm sure. Kyle Lafferty is back at Kilmarnock as well. So lots going on. Now you two have got a teaser here to answer, and it's a good question. This tough but doable, as I would say. Jerry in Erskine sent it in. He wants you to name the 11 one cap wonders who are playing in the Scottish top flight at the moment. So they've all been capped by Scotland, but just the once. Not to say that they won't add to that in the future, but there are 11 players in our top flight with one Scotland cap.
Barry McKay?
Yes. What a shout that is. I'm impressed.
I'm not just here as a pretty face, you know.
Honestly, you will be getting that Veet sponsorship if we keep this up.
Great, absolutely. Trying to find somebody. Yes, Stevie May?
No.
No.
Oh yes. No, sorry, I've done you. I've done you. There yeah, we yeah. Go. Stevie May, when did he get Scotland cap?
I don't know, but it sprung to mind.
Wow, great shout, well done. Hugh, nothing? Nothing else? Inspired at the beginning. Silence.
Toiling.
I'll tell you what, I'll tell you when Stevie May got his one cap. Not a bad game to get in. England. At Celtic Park.
Wow.
Remember it? Barry McKay, Stevie May. Okay, we're looking for nine others who are in the top flight at the moment.
Craig Halkett.
But I've only got, no, none yeah. for him. I've only got one Scotland cap. What about recently? Anyone who had to come in and help out recently?
Listen, we'll get there, Gordon. Right? We'll get there.
I trust right? you.
Anthony Ralston.
Yes, that wasn't the one I was trying to steer you towards, but by all means, Anthony Ralston. Okay, we will leave it there. Let's bring in Paul, who's a Celtic fan. What do you make of the transfer business this week, Paul? Another one added, another midfielder.
Hi, Gordon. I won't call you mate. I don't want to.
I like it. I genuinely don't want to take it the wrong way. I think it's endearing.
I'm happy. I'm glad it's been a good week for Celtic. I listened to Ange talking in his interview where he says we're not in for anybody else, but I totally took from that at that moment they weren't in for anybody else, so I wasn't surprised when we brought in the young guy from MK Dons. Again, you don't know a hell of a lot about the guy, but any feedback's been good, and I think that the fee is so low because of this cross-border ruling, much the same as how Celtic got Moussa Dembélé. But it's been a good week for Celtic. I think that I was maybe in the minority when I was at the game on Monday night, and after the whole excitement of being caught up with the occasion and just being back into the football and there on a school night, I didn't actually think Celtic played as well as most people said. I thought they played well. I thought they played well in the first half, but I saw them playing a lot better, I think. With chances taking stuff, but listen, I'm not saying they played badly, but I don't think they played as well as it was made out to be. But it's been a good week again with the way that the Rangers and Aberdeen game panned out. Saw some of that, and I was more encouraged with the kind of the Rangers performance than I was with the actual result. But all in all, it's been a good week.
A good week, Hugh, understandably, if you're a Celtic fan like Paul. They won, Rangers didn't. Yeah. And that does constitute a good week, certainly. I wonder what you feel, because I'm sure Kenny and I were discussing this earlier when we were watching Aberdeen start the game quite well, and then when it gets to one each and Aberdeen look like they're pressing, I'm not thinking about anything other than you and the stick that you're going to get if Aberdeen go and win this, because you've said Rangers won't lose a game until the end of the season, and indeed you're still hanging on in there because they did not lose. You didn't say they would win them all. However, I wonder if did you anticipate a point swing already, or did you think this would, you know, the gap would stay or indeed grow a bit longer?
The funny thing, Celtic, and I think Paul's an honest man, because Celtic were scintillating in the first half against the Hibs, but less so in the second half, and that's an honest assessment. I thought that coming out of the rescheduled winter break, that some teams might struggle just to get back up to the pace of the game. Celtic clearly did not, and had it won by half time basically. The following night, I think Rangers did struggle to pick up where they had left off 3 weeks earlier. And I do understand that Joe Aribo is a big loss to them as he goes to the Africa Cup of Nations. But they just didn't play well on the night. And I did not anticipate that 6 points would become four. But it has. And it's great for the league, because Celtic now have to go to Tynecastle next Wednesday, which will be, I suspect, a harder game than Rangers will have at home to Livingston. Maybe I do Livingston a disservice.
You need to. The last time you wrote off Marvin Bartley, he was standing right next to you, and they went to Celtic Park and got
that
a point.
You'll be
listening.
Entirely Celtic's fault, and even then they had a penalty in the last minute, and Giacomakis made a complete hash of it. But it's great for the league. It's great for Celtic and Ange Postecoglou. It's now getting mighty tight. Celtic have to go to Tynecastle though and do their work, and it will be a heck of a game. I'm looking forward to it already. I do understand they've got Alloa away tomorrow in the Scottish Cup, but your thoughts are propelled towards Tynecastle on Wednesday night. What a game that is going to be.
Kenny, we did say it last week that everyone has February the 2nd in their mind, and it was assuming that the gap would be the same by the time those games came around. And I think we made the point last week that the gap could be significantly bigger, or indeed it could be short, and it's shorter already. Now what we don't know is what happens next midweek. It could be the next week belongs to Rangers, but this week belongs to Celtic, clearly, doesn't it? That's just the way it works here.
Of course it did. And they had, when you look at it on the face of it, Hibs, which I felt they could have went there and got something, but it was a comfortable victory for Celtic, and they had it won early. And again, they never really needed to get out of second, third gear to actually get that win. So they've came through that well, and again, it's actually made better the next game night when Rangers drop points. They do have a hard fixture again next week against Hearts, whereas, like Hugh says, on paper it's an easier fixture for Rangers. So it could take a swing again next week, but it's been a brilliant week for Celtic in regards to the gap smaller. Everybody's eyes will still be on the 2nd of February, because everybody's looking forward to that game.
And we don't know who's available and
who's going to be available, who's going to be missing. It's, again, that's still up for the debate, and it's changing each day as well, with injuries, with guys away on international duty. So it will be two teams starting lineups that are missing probably big players on both sides. That's without question.
What is your view on that then? Do both just take it in the chin, just get on with it?
Well, they have to. It's as simple as that. They have to. So whether it's,
don't ask the question about
postponements, I don't think so, because at what point, when does it get rescheduled? And that's only the second one of the season as well. There's still another two to come. So no, I think they just need to swallow it. Both teams are going to be, it's not going to be the strongest Rangers team, it's not going to be the strongest Celtic team. I think they just need to get on with it, and again, may the best team win.
Rangers will be cursing their luck, because Morelos goes and he has looked really sharp, reborn under Van Bronckhorst. And Joe Aribo, in all probability, will still be in the Africa Cup of Nations. Celtic, after what Ange Postecoglou said today, would not have had Furuhashi anyway, because he would not have been fit for the game. And they brought in,
but they don't have the guy, or they might not have the guy though who's brought in to replace him.
Well,
if Maeda goes, you know, so that would be the difficulty.
We'll have to wait.
And Rogic has been called up, hasn't he?
Rogic. But, you know, Matt O'Reilly's come in, and midfield is an area where Celtic are wealthy. So I think, that they should get on with it now and get the fixture played. there are losses, severe losses on both sides, but we can't wait forever. They'll need to play the match on the 2nd of February.
You go along with that, Paul?
Well, see, to be honest, I'm not 100% sure that Furuhashi wouldn't make it, because if you listen to Big Ange's previous interviews, every time he said he won't make any about for a while, he always comes back a lot quicker than actual happens. So I think he's he knows what he's doing. But if you do think about it, every time the cup final being a prime example, he's always come back quicker than he said he would. But
Kenny, though, yeah. just on that though, you'll know about this, I'm sure. If Kyogo is withheld from the Japan squad because he's injured, then he can't then play for Celtic, can he? Is there not that there's a rule if you do it within X amount, is it 7 days or X amount of days either side?
There is an international rule on it. Again, what it actually is, I don't know entirely, but there is something. If he's not away on international duty when he should be, I don't think he could then.
Yeah, I mean, and that, yeah, if he, for instance, pulled out the Japan squad or you know, refused to be called up because he was injured, yeah, that sort of thing. I don't know whether there is a third scenario where Japan just decide not to call him up.
Yeah,
I wonder, and leave him be, and he makes the game. Then yeah, maybe that would be different.
I wonder to what extent Furuhashi coming back and playing in the cup final has done for him, because there's no doubt he won the cup for Celtic that day, and his two goals were magnificent, and his overall play was outstanding. I just wonder how much it took out of him that particular day.
We'll never know what the exact moment was, but clearly the St Johnstone one has really exacerbated it, hasn't it? That was the big one, because he came through the cup final to the point where he then played against St Johnstone.
But I disagree with Paul to the extent that I think what Ange Postecoglou said in the clip that you played was unequivocal. He said he'd be out for weeks yet, and I really don't.
He didn't put a time frame on it. He just said a number of weeks. What does that mean?
Well, a number of weeks. Here we are on, what, January 21. Mm-hmm. The game against Rangers is 12 days away. A number of weeks is more than... in fact, 2 weeks is 14 days. We've got 12 days till the match at Celtic Park against Rangers.
Paul, what do you make of the makeup of that Celtic midfield at the moment then? Everybody who watched Hatate, no matter what team I think you support, was impressed with his performance the other night. So he presumably is now definitely in there in the conversation. David Turnbull's injured. You've got your staples, if you like, Callum McGregor, Tom Rogic, and now of course a new signing from MK Dons as well. A lot of options.
Oh, loads of options. So many options that apart from Callum McGregor starting, he would be the captain. I don't know, but it's a strong. They've got a strong enough midfield full that various mixes will work. And with the exception of Beaton being the backup, McCarthy, who doesn't seem to be up to speed, who'd maybe bring in to slow a game down. I mean, it's mouthwatering actually to think about all the midfielders we've got. It's heavy in the midfield.
Definitely interesting, Kenny, because I'm not sure anyone, and this is why managers know best, and this is why they're paid the big bucks, and they've got their own vision. I'm not sure anyone after the signing of Hatate and Idiguchi, outside of Ange Postecoglou's office, said, "Oh, do you know what Celtic need? Another midfielder." I didn't hear it. I didn't hear fans phoning up and saying it. I could be wrong. I didn't see it on social media. But there we go. He disagrees. He sees something that he needs or wants.
Of course he does, or he wouldn't have signed the players. It's again, when you talk about before this transfer window, you would have said Callum McGregor, David Turnbull, Tom Rogic. That would probably have been the starting midfield three, I think, for most Celtic fans. Now, I was really impressed with Hatate. Whose place does he take out of those three? Does Callum McGregor go higher and maybe David Turnbull doesn't play? I think when Tom Rogic is fit, and back for international duty, when you see him, the way he's performed this season, I think he would definitely need to be in there somewhere. I think he's a big, big influence on Celtic in an attacking sense. Callum McGregor has been excellent for a number of years now, and I don't think he would lose his spot. So they have signed a few players in those positions. doesn't necessarily mean they're coming in to start. It could be coming in for future. It could be coming in for development. But for what I've seen for Hitati the other night, it would be very hard to leave him out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Thank you, Paul. 01419511025 on Jerry in Erskine's teaser, which he sent to fulltime@clyde1.com. He wants to know if you can name 11 players with one Scotland cap who play in the top flight at the moment. Guys like Anthony Ralston, Barry Mackay, Stevie May,
Paul McGinn.
Yes, that was the one I was talking about earlier on.
Eamon Brophy.
Yes, well done. Was that San Marino away under Alex McLeish? I think something along around that time.
Shinney.
Andrew Shinney at Livingston.
Yep.
Brilliant. That's a great shout. I thought you would perhaps miss him. Okay, we'll leave it there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to get. We'll get them next. And kick off at Ibrox as well.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Here come the teams at Ibrox. Rangers against Stirling Albion in the second of the Scottish Cup ties from this weekend. Hibs are the first team through. They didn't get it all their own way against Cove Rangers, but they did make it through. And now either Rangers or Stirling Albion will join them. I think Hugh and Kenny certainly fancy that to be Rangers. I don't think that's a controversial prediction.
No, that's hardly an out on a limb.
What's your scoreline prediction? Come on.
5-0.
Five, okay. I thought you were actually going to go more. Kenny?
I wouldn't go far away for that. Yep, I would 4-5-6. Aye, so I'll go six. One either way. I'll go 6.
Right, we'll take it 6, right. Okay, we'll see how we get on tomorrow. Well, either way, that would be good news for our competition, wouldn't it? That was the money that we're adding to the pot. So I'm not sure the Stirling Albion players would. Well, you never know. Maybe one of them will win it. And I don't know if that would soften the blow. I'm sure not. Professional pride and all that. But an interesting team. Tavernier, Goldson, Balogun, Simpson, Hadji, Lundstrom, Bakuna, Sakala, Eaton, Barker. Some names on there you don't see too often.
Well, Eaton,
but some names that you see really often. And even on nights like this, Hugh, Tavernier and Goldson,
yeah,
play.
Morelos has gone to play for Colombia. Eaton now knows that if he turns in performances worthy of the name, he'll be at Celtic Park on the 2nd of February. And Sakala might feel that way as well. So the most interesting thing for me tonight is how Eaton performs in that striker's role. He'd been recalled from a loan period. He was hardly pulling up trees at Ibrox before he left for the loan period. Tonight has got to be the start of the big comeback for him.
Does this also have to be the start of a cup run, Kenny, in the sense that Rangers will want to win this? It's a trophy they've not won since 2009, as you know all too well. As great as last season was for everyone involved at Rangers, it's still the cloud that hangs there is that they should have done better in cups really in the last few seasons, shouldn't they?
That goes without saying. And you know, it's the cloud's going to consistently be there. So when the Scottish Cup's won, it'll move on to the League Cup. It'll be able,
yeah.
Rangers have not won the League Cup since 2011, so it's going to move on. What it is Rangers Football Club need to be competing on all fronts. It's as simple as that. And they have fell short in cups over the last few years. This is an opportunity. Obviously losing the semi-final to Hibs a couple of months back, that was the first one gone. So it's absolutely imperative that Rangers go far in this. And again, need to win it. Again, you set out the season, you want to win it. League is obvious priority, but cup, the absence of a major cup has been too long at Ibrox.
Well, no guarantees. It's not easy to just go and win cup competitions. But even, I guess, more finals would have been desirable over that period. They lost the League Cup final to Celtic, but falling at that semi-final hurdle or even earlier,
yep,
that's something that Giovanni van Bronckhorst will want to put right, won't he?
It has to put right. You need to be winning, not just making finals and semi-finals, like you say. But yes, when you get to the final, I mean, in the final appearance they actually played very, very, yep, well, and they should have won it. There's no doubt about it. But missed too many chances on the day. But yeah, Rangers need to start winning cups again. Yes, the league's been done, and that's the monkey off that back. But now you need to back that up with another league.
No, I'm sorry. Right, forget all that. Forget all that. Right, that was great. But whoever performed Brandon Barker's hair transplant, reveal yourself. You are a magician. Whoever you are, seriously. Did you see that close up?
No, I did not. I missed that.
We're too busy concentrating on the point at hand.
No. That it was great. I loved it. But seriously, that is magnificent.
We'll get a shot of it shortly.
I'm gonna have to show you what Brandon Barker's Barnett looked like recently,
yeah,
Hugh.
Yeah. And compare
and contrast.
Well, yeah, touch of the Bobby Charlton's about him when he.
Wow. Anyway, it's still 0-0. It's 2 minutes gone. A slack pass there from, was it John Lundstrom, I think, Ball goes out of play. Darren Young on the touchline. He joined us last night, Hugh, on the phone. He said he did play against Giovanni van Bronckhorst, and he'll be pleased to be in the dugout because this is as close as he got to him. So high hopes, I'm sure, for tonight.
Kenny, I don't know how to tell you this. I really don't. There was a long, long piece about Adrian Falkirk last Monday in the paper. Long piece by an old friend of the programme, Hugh McDonald. And he spoke about you come out to remonstrate with the fourth official.
Yes.
And he said there was a He said there was a child he reckoned was about 5 years old, a cherubic face, and he shouted, "Sit down, Baldy."
Fair point.
Don't mind
fair
that.
Fair point, but when you're getting decisions, again, we're talking about referees again. You know, certain decisions that go against you, you need to try and stand up for your team and make your point. And by it was made
regardless of what your hair looks like,
in the nicest possible manner.
I'm sure it was. Kenny, have you learning anything inside the opening 3 minutes? Is it kind of just, you know, Stirling doing what you would expect?
Come out and actually give it a go and try and show a wee bit of energy and things. No, but we're not learned anything in the first 3 minutes yet. Nope.
They're not sitting overly deep yet, but will that settle soon?
It's one of the half presses that you're kind of showing, yeah, we're coming for you, and then we just drop to the halfway line yet.
What's going on tomorrow, Hugh? Where to start? Well, how about closest to home? We've been following the journey.
Yeah.
The Bankies at home to Annan.
Yep.
Another chapter in the fairy tale.
Well, the strips have been bought now. I bought them on the day of the Clyde game. Son has won, grandson has won. They've got their Clyde Bank strips ready in Brighton tomorrow. The Bankies haven't played all that well in recent weeks. I'm hoping that the fairy tale doesn't turn to reality against Annan. All I can do is cross my fingers and hope.
It's that stage, isn't it, where because of what they've done in the competition, it goes down as a winnable tie.
Yeah.
But you've got the fear that you don't want it petering out in a tie that's not even glamorous, no offence to Annan. You know, at this stage, you either want, you need to get through, or you get your big day. You get your Stirling Albion, your trip to Ibrox.
When the Bankies beat Clyde, at least I could say I was alive when Clyde won the Scottish Cup. So they knocked out previous holders of the Scottish Cup. But Annan have been moving well in their division. I just have all fingers crossed. Come on, the paper hankies.
Any problems for Celtic at Alloa?
Can't see it again. It's a surface that they won't welcome going to, that's for sure. It's a penalty. Sorry.
it's not
the game there. It should have been.
Maybe we could add another bullet point to the 8 point complaint, Hugh. John Beaton this time. Cedric Eating goes down in the box. He doesn't complain, for what it's worth, but that doesn't always.
I can't see Celtic having too many problems, but it's not a nice venue to go to. Again, they need to approach it professionally, go and get the job done.
Alloa manager will be up for it, won't he?
Absolutely. He will be up for it, and so will his assistant.
But they're on a bad run as well. I mean, they've had a shocking run of late. If Celtic were not to progress beyond Alloa, it would be a sensation. But Matt O'Reilly, I suspect, will get game time. Maeda, Hatate, why would you leave him out? Let him build his momentum. Although they do have Hearts midweek, but I would have to think Celtic would win by a very comprehensive margin.
Stirling Albion looking to attack. They're playing a ball in behind. It was good play down the right, but the pass is too heavy. John McLaughlin comes and gets it. Where is your shock then?
Potentially Kilmarnock against Dundee United. Dundee United are in appalling form. Lost 6 league games on the bounce now.
I mean, it would be a shock because they're in different divisions, but that's still not huge, is it?
Well,
there's not a big difference between those sides.
How about last season's cup holders going out to Kelty Hearts?
Now I'm interested. Yeah. What do you think, Kenny Miller?
I think there is. Kelty are obviously flying at the moment. St Johnstone are in a horrendous run. They'll be again low on confidence. They will have to play their absolute strongest team, whereas had they been in a better place, they may look at looking to maybe play a few players that maybe have not had as much game time as Callum would have liked. But they need to approach this properly, because this could be the opportunity to kind of kick start and break this losing run of games. Yes, it's not a league game, but it's a win. You know, they need to try and get back on that winning trail after a horrendous run of results.
If you're looking at top flight clubs, any problems for St Mirren at Ayr or Motherwell at home to Morton?
Certainly Jim Goodwin would not look at Ayr and think, oh, that would be a piece of cake. St Mirren got a very good result, and Jay Henderson scored a wonderful effort, and they will go there in good spirits. But they have to be careful. Likewise, Motherwell, that was an awful result for Motherwell midweek.
Oh, Rangers get themselves in all sorts of trouble, almost leading to Stirling Albion with a clear sight at goal. John McLaughlin eventually does hack it clear. It was a ball back, and Tavernier tried to just touch it back to the goalkeeper. Didn't really get a lot on it. Stirling Albion player was in. That was a bit of a heart and mouth moment.
I think these are the moments when Giovanni Brand-Broadcast has a word with the nearest Rangers player and tells them to get switched on here, because, you know, there's no point. I mean, I know that we've written off Stirling Albion. That's okay for us standing in a studio.
I thought we were going to see it back. It's actually the shot from James Tavernier, which goes over the bar, but we are now seeing it back. It's not ideal.
There is definitely fortune in that. Again, it could come easily and it was a mix up between McLaughlin and Tavernier, but it could easily have been a lot worse. Tavernier could have knocked that past the onrushing McLaughlin, and it would have been an open goal, but they got a wee break on it and obviously got it away. But again, it's good to see Stirling actually having a bit of attacking intent, where we had kind of wrote them off and didn't expect the start to the match.
Right, how are you doing on this teaser then? 11 players in the top flight in Scotland with one Scotland cap. You're doing well so far in terms of, you've got Brophy, Paul McGinn, Anthony Ralston, Barry Mackay, and Stevie May, Andrew Shinney as well. Any more?
Tony Watt.
Yes, Tony Watt. Will he add to that tally? He's got one at the moment.
Go on, Kenny.
I've got Paul Hanlon.
Yes.
Oh. And again, Tony Watt, I think, with the form that he's been in this, it's been mooted that he could get back into Scotland setup. If he continues to score goals at the rate he has in the first half of the season, I don't see why not.
Any more for any more? Two, three to get. I think you did get one during the break that you've not mentioned yet.
Stephen Kingsley.
Stephen Kingsley, well done. That was a few years ago now, when he was, a Swansea player. Right, two to get.
Paul Hanlon's mate, Lewis Stevenson.
Yes. Oof. Kenny Miller's good at this question, Hugh. Last one's a cracker. Absolute cracker.
I'm done.
Oh dear. Hugh, that means you're going to have to step up to the plate.
Clue time.
Okay, I don't want to give you his club. I think that's just a bit easy. Let me think of a more obscure clue and see how we get on. It was, good luck, it was a friendly against the Faroes in 2010. No, I tell a lie. It was Luxembourg.
Just before we get to that, Hadji is clearly in some distress. He's taken a sore one and he's in some distress. Watch it.
It's a strange one, Kenny. He kicks the Stirling Albion player.
It's on the follow through. Yep.
But it looks like it looks like he's in a lot of pain.
It's because it's high up. I think it's high up his leg. It looks like he was holding his knee. It's not good. Or definitely the top part of his lower leg. Not good.
Rangers will be hoping that's just a sort of impact one that feels worse at the time. We'll keep an eye on that, and I'm sure we'll find out.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has just shouted along the line, "How is he?" So he obviously had a bit of concern.
Right, your remaining one on the teaser. He's a midfield player. He's, I don't know, I'm just going to have to tell you.
Luxembourg friendly. What was the score in the game?
He replaced Jordan Rhodes. Apparently Billy Stark was in interim charge.
In the game.
Did you? Alright, good, okay. I should have known then.
Who was it?
So Billy Stark was in charge. He replaced Jordan Rhodes in the 89th minute. But he's not
Jordan
a striker.
Scored the two goals, huh?
He's not a striker.
Yes, because you told us he's a midfielder.
Oh, sorry, so I did. Four.
Yep, give us a team then.
The team bottom of the Scottish Premiership.
Oh. Wasn't Davidson, was it?
Yeah, Murray Davidson.
Wow.
Murray Davidson, well done. We got there in the end. I think Yanis Hadji looks, I don't know, he's moving gingerly, as they say, but he's up and about, and it's still with 11 minutes gone. Rangers 0, Stirling Albion 0. Who will be in the hat for the draw? We'll find out later on this evening, and we'll look back on it all tonight. Make sure you join us tomorrow. I love this weekend in the Scottish football calendar. It is a wonderful day of cup football with big games up and down the country. Wonderful venues, wonderful storylines everywhere you look. So make sure you join us from 2 o'clock, your usual motley crew in the studio. And if you stay right there, you can get your weekend started, as Hugh Keevans calls it.
Boom boom music.
Yeah, GBX up next.